Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, new decade. Be future ready with Zurich, the power behind your pension.
And we're back in Wexford on the Harbour Walls with five rather chilly looking candidates who are probably all going to have to speak kind of quickly to keep warm. Let's just introduce you to them by way of a couple of quick fire questions. Paul Keogh, Fine Gael, Simon Coveney says today of Sinn Féin, you've ambushed the word changed, your promises are a con job, they're built on sand. Is that the best that you've gotten as a response to this poll, political Punch and Judy?
Well, I have every faith in the people of Ireland and what they will do on February the 8th and when they will look back at where this country was in 2011 and where it is today. And I think the policies of Sinn Féin will wreck this country. They're reckless. If you look at some of the proposals in around tax, when you look at the proposals in around spending, and this country is like a household. You have to have money coming in and also you have to be able to balance the budget with the money going out.
I know, but the point that I was making there is they go high in the polls, you go low in debate.
No, I don't think we go low in debate. I think we're being frank and very honest with people. And I would ask the people of Ireland to look very closely to where we have brought this country over the last 4 years in this government and previous to 5 years where we were in power with Brendan Howland. And I was absolutely honoured to be able to sit at the cabinet table with Brendan Howland in 2011. And we had some very difficult
overtures being made here.
No, but we had some very difficult decisions to make. And I think we recovered the economy. And like it could look like a Fianna Fáil Sinn Féin government after the next election.
That's drunk milk. Let's move on. Brendan Howland, it should have been you. It should have been you topping the poll, leading or at the forefront of all of these parties on the left. It's not, though. Do you accept that that's partly, a large part, your personal fault?
Well, firstly, we let the people decide that rather than the opinion polls. I think there's a lot of flux. I've never been involved in an election with so much uncertainty. There's at least 18 or 19% yet to make up their minds. And even those who have said they're going to do something, I think, may well change their mind in the next 3 days. I think there is one undeniable fact, and that is there is a mood for change. People feel that they haven't made progress in the last 4 years. They've gone through the difficulty period, and they want to see the results of that now. They want to see a functioning health service. They want to see houses for our people that we don't have to step over people in sleeping bags or watch people in tents, and they haven't seen that. So they're moving away.
We've heard your stump speech on this issue, but you should have been, by rights, the leading party of the left. You're not. Do you not accept some level of personal responsibility for that at this stage?
I suppose everybody takes responsibility. We had a disastrous last election.
So it's everybody's fault, not just Brendan Howland's.
Well, it's Brendan Howland. It's everybody that has tried to rebuild the party. But I am the leader. I take personal responsibility. I know that the journey of rebuilding is very difficult. If you saw what happened in other parties, the time it takes. And my message to people is simple. The Labour Party have been at the forefront of developing and sustaining public services, of building houses in the past. We went into government in the worst of times. We were the fire brigade to put out the fire that was started by Fianna Fáil. And we now need the opportunity to shape the future, because we don't want an uncertain future. We want a clear view of what we can do. And the notion that we can promise all things to all people is going back to the disastrous road that brought us ruin. I believe that we can...
We'll come back to that. We'll come back to promises in a moment. Just let me introduce the other panellists. Malcolm Byrne, Fianna Fáil, there's a clear split within your party on supporting Sinn Féin or getting Sinn Féin to support you in government, whichever way it might turn out to be. Those who are with Micheál Martin on the issue, those who are against Micheál Martin. Where are you?
There's not a clear split. The position, Philip...
Oh, yes, there is. There are at least five or six people who have said Micheál Martin's position doesn't stack up.
Well, Philip, RTE might want to extend the panto season, but the reality is there's been a very clear decision outlined by the party, by the front bench. We're not going into coalition with Sinn Féin. And I'm kind of...
That's the front bench position. The back bench position is slightly different.
I'm saying among our membership and among the members of the parliamentary party, we have been consistent and clear in this since 2016. But there is an obsession on the part of the media around polls and process and so on. And I think it's far more important, and particularly here in issue in Wexford, to focus on the issues. And Brendan mentioned, issues...
You know why there is? Because nobody can rely on or be guaranteed that a single word in any of your manifestos means anything until it ends up being going through the churn of a programme for government.
Yeah, and let's start to talk about what should actually be in that programme for government. And Brendan is right in terms of the big one of the big issues here in Wexford is around housing, issues around mental health and agriculture. And I'd much prefer, Philip, that we spend our time actually talking
issues.
About those
We're going to do issues now. Your best boy in class for making me, holding me to that. We are going to get there. I have to introduce our two remaining candidates, though. Fiona Murphy, within days of being deselected by Fine Gael, you were out saying that Simon Harris was the worst minister for health ever. He may be, he may not be, that's by the by. What does it say about your judgment in having joined a party with the worst minister for health ever?
At the time, I didn't really realise what the party structure meant, and I've moved on and I'm now independent because that structure doesn't fit me.
You didn't really realise that he was the worst Minister for Health ever, and then you did a few days later?
No, I didn't realise that the party structure didn't suit me, and I've moved on and I'm now independent. And the issue here in Wexford in relation to health is one of our mental health services. That's Wexford Bridge you're looking at over there, Philip, and Marine Watch will be on that bridge tonight because we have in Wexford a higher suicide rate than much of the country, and we can't get our mental health services right. A CAMHS unit, child and adult mental health services.
What does it say about your knowledge of politics and political process, though, that you couldn't have figured out that much before joining Fine Gael?
Every day is a learning day, and what I'm learning is that we have two ministers here whom at some stage had promised to open the CAMHS unit in Arden House. We have another promise, and it's not opened. Children and adults, especially children, are being put into adult mental health services. Not good enough. We don't need Marine Watch on the bridge in Wexford. We need mental health services.
Seanie O'Shea, explain to me the relationship between yourself and Mick Wallace and Claire Daly. Are you here with their blessing, their specific endorsement, or are you part of a Mick Wallace organisation in Wexford?
No, I'm here with both Claire and Mick's blessing, obviously. Since Mick got involved in politics in 2011, I've been beside Mick from day one. I campaigned with him in 2011, 2016, and then for the Europeans. Okay.
So you broadly stand for what he stands for. Tell us then, so that people can get a fix on where you are in the political constellation, what will you insist on being in a programme for government in order to buy your support?
What I will insist on is fair play for Wexford. It's my understanding that in my lifetime, all we've had in government is Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Labour. I've been canvassing for the last 3 weeks on the doorstep, Philip. And the people, I canvassed in 2011 and 2016, people were angry. Now they are just desperate. They are very angry and they need a change now.
Okay. Earlier on, we were exploring how Wexford has frequently found itself at the sharp end of the immigration debate because it's home to Rosslare Harbour. Long before events in either Rooski or Ackle, there were protracted protests outside hotels that had been earmarked for asylum seekers. We found no evidence earlier on in our discussions of immigration colouring voter attitudes, but I wonder, does it inform, or in what way does it inform, candidate thinking here? Verona Murphy, independent, should there be increased immigration control of any kind, or are you happy with the mix that's coming into the country as it is now?
There should be increased security from illegal migration. Rosslare, your report is one of the particular asks in this election. We have huge congestion in Dublin Port and we have an answer to it. An underdeveloped Rosslare, your report. It's our closest gateway to Europe. If we're to make progress, particularly with Brexit pending, we need to establish a proper 7-day service to France. That is the only way we're going to survive Brexit. Okay. I'm the person who brought...
And my question, though, was... legal migration, are you happy with the mix of people that are coming in?
That's a completely different matter. Legal migration is done under UN protocols. Illegal migration is a very different issue. It causes nothing on the angst. We have hauliers who are...
I know, but answer my question rather than shifting the ground, will you? Are you happy with the mix of people that are coming in?
It's a difficult balance when we have people here in Wexford suffering greatly in relation to housing and health needs. We're overloading the system. We can't look after our own citizens in relation to housing. And it's putting a load on the system.
So you would change the mix then of people who are migrating legally to the country?
I don't know what you mean by the mix, but what I'm saying is that we are under pressure in relation to issues here in Wexford, such as housing, such as mental health, and the system is being loaded.
And do controls on immigration help you fix those problems?
On illegal migration. Every country has controls on illegal migration. La Harve, as a port, has 130 police force of its own. And it doesn't have a migration or illegal migration problem. we don't need illegal migrants. They are not accepted in any country. Illegal migration is exactly that.
You shifted the ground away again, though, from what I was talking about, legal migration. Shawnee O'Shea, when back in 2017 there was another kerfuffle in Ross Lair about a hotel housing Syrian refugees, there was, it seemed to me, looking at it, an absence of political leadership. The council voted in favour of it, passed it on the nod, but then when locals started expressing their concerns, did anybody go down there and address them? Did anybody say, it is our solemn duty to take these people from this war-torn country?
It is our solemn duty, Philip, yes. And in actual fact, direct provision centres need to be improved. The facilities, they're just not acceptable for the people in those facilities. But then again, that leads into the housing problem as well. Like, we have to address the housing problem, and hence we will get the people out of direct provision centres more quickly.
And where is it on your hierarchy of issues?
The whole housing...
direct provision.
Direct provision obviously is high on my list. Like, I'm involved in sport here in Wexford. We accept all race, all nationalities. We have, we have a mixture of boys and girls out there. So, like, I'm all for direct provision. Like, but the standard has to be improved. And again, I state that leads into the housing issue, because we have to look after the housing issue first, and then we can improve the standards in direct provision.
Brendan Howland, Labour, would you concede that for all of Labour's pronouncements on direct provision, all of its hand-wringing, that Fine Gael in government actually has achieved more than you ever managed to do? They've set the standard now. Own door accommodation with self-catering is going to be the minimum standard for direct provision from now on.
No, that's not true. That the entire blueprint was set out by Éadan Ó Riordan when he was Minister of State. It's now being implemented, and I think it's a good thing. We do need to reform the direct provision system. There's about 70 or 80 migrants, asylum seekers, coming per week into Ireland. We are obliged under international law to welcome them, to house them. I don't think they should be put up in competition with people who are waiting on our housing list, so we need to provide shelter and support to them. We also need to ensure that it's of a high standard. So I would take it away from the for-profit sector. It should be state-provided, maybe run by an NGO, and quality-controlled. And people involved...
Isn't that just an ideological point to try and put a bit of clear blue water between yourself and Fine Gael?
Absolutely not. As I say, the blueprint was done when we were in government by Éadan Ó Riordan. I think it would have been transformed had Éadan still been in government. And we have to deal with our responsibilities in an open and direct way. It's great to see the Wexford train, just in case people are worried about the hooting.
He doesn't like one of us, or he's listening to Radio 1. Which is it, Mr. Train Driver? Oh, no. No. There is somebody... perilously close to the level
it's,
crossing
it's actually
there.
It's one of the
Malcolm
issues.
Byrne, Fianna Fáil.
It's one of the issues in this campaign as well, is about the Ross Lair rail line and the need.
We're not pivoting away from direct provision now.
Bigger.
It was a good idea. But I'm not going to let you
Philip,
do it. Paul Keogh.
No.
Paul Keogh, Fine Gael. Paul Keogh. Well, hang on a second, because we are going to move on. Yeah. Paul Keogh, would you accept that Fine Gael in government has walked any changes that have happened in direct provision very, very slowly? We were hearing earlier on about the waiting time for decisions having gone from 8 years to maybe 7 or 6.
Well, look, the present system is not fit for purpose, and I would say that, and an awful lot of people would have raised that with me on the canvas over the last number of weeks, and that's why, and in fairness to Minister David Stanton, he's done a huge amount of work in this area, and that is why we have asked former Secretary General of the European Commission, Catherine Day, to look at this and to sit down with a small committee of people and to report back to us in the next number of months and look at the best practice across Europe and to what we have to do here in Ireland. Let me say,
you've had working groups in this area before who have reported on this issue, and you haven't in 9 years brought down the waiting time, the decision waiting time, that much.
No, absolutely. I would totally refute that point. You're absolutely incorrect in saying that the waiting times have improved over the last while Fine Gael have been in government. But let me say, Philip, that this this is an issue, that we are putting an expert group together. We're looking for best practice across Europe, and whatever they come back to, we will want to implement it. The present system is not working. We have to move to where they are comfortable, where they have their own facilities in the centres, and that is something that we're working towards.
Malcolm Byrne, Fianna Fáil is also being a little bit like Labour, looking to move this provision of direct provision out of the private sector back into state control. Isn't, again, that just ideological? Is it actually going to make any difference?
Well, I think there's a crucial point to say that this is a welcoming county, and Wexford has always been a very welcoming county. Seanie made the point about sport, and we have sports teams and drama and tourism interests here who very much rely on visitors, but also on new people coming here. And what people must remember as well, Lee Chin, one of the county's greatest hurlers, his background is something that he's not from a very traditional Wexford background, but has made enormous contributions to sport, and there are many other examples. So as a country, we have to be welcoming. I think the fact that direct provision, we have moral obligations in terms of welcoming and providing supports to people, but the problem, an international legal obligation, but one of the problems, as you've outlined, is about how long people are staying in direct provision. We're dealing with situations with kids who have spent...
And whether it is done by the private sector or the state sector isn't going to make any difference to those waiting times,
The key is about shortening the period of time by which somebody's application for asylum is determined. Because we have situations where we have kids who spend, you know, their entire second level education here, and when they go to college, it's not clear about how they are treated, whether it's an EU student or non-EU student. I would just say, though, Philip, I mean, it's odd that immigration is kind of brought up as an issue. When I'm knocking on the doors, it is not coming up as an issue. The only context where it comes up is where people are concerned. They sort of say that, look, There are houses being provided to house asylum seekers, and yet we don't have houses for our own people. And that is not about immigration. That is about the failure of housing policy. Mm-hmm. And I have to say...
Let's move on to another issue. And we're going to move on to another issue now. Wexford, obviously home to several low-lying coastal towns facing inundation as sea levels rise. It's also a county where... unexpectedly 10, 15 years ago, if I had told you that you were going to be irrigating crops in Wexford during the summer months, you would have said I was mad, but that is what is happening. It's all a part of change to the climate. And a panel of three climate scientists has been through the manifestos for all of your parties, and they have said that you in Fianna Fáil are doing really badly. You in Fianna Gael, Paul Keogh, are doing really badly. And Brendan Howland, you in Labour are doing really, really badly. Let's talk about the government's role first. Do you accept that an 8% cut in emissions annually is what has to be achieved, and on just 2% you're doing pretty miserably?
Well, I think we had to start somewhere. We didn't reach our 2020 targets, and we have to be able to reach our 2030 targets.
And it's 8% a year from now, not from 2030.
Yeah, but we have to look at renewable energy, renewables, and that is one thing that Fine Gael will be looking at. We also have to look at our transport infrastructure. We also have to look at our greenways. We also have to We also have to look at what people, the new regulations in around NZ, housing and everything.
This is just a checklist, Paul. It's not actually a commitment to meet the emissions cuts.
And this is all happening at the moment under the Fine Gael-led government.
Okay. Malcolm Byrne, Fianna Fáil, doesn't actually have a figure where Fine Gael has one that falls well short.
But let me look in terms on the issues. So there are a lot of people who are going to be listening to this. There are tens of thousands of commuters from this constituency to the greater Dublin area who are now currently coming down this evening on the M11 listening to this programme. There could be a real alternative by investing in the Rosslare rail line. That hasn't been done. This government has said that it's buying 41 new carriages.
When we came into government 2011, the country was
Paul, listen, we've got to look about investing in our railways. Rosslare rail line is absolutely essential in terms of that. And also in terms of for our farmers. Our farmers want to play a major part. There's a big challenge.
Again, you're just checking a list. Let me go to Brendan Howland on this. Paucity of ambition, the scientists say, on Labour's
part.
Absolutely
not. We're the most ambitious because we said we would have greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. And we set out where it is to be done sector by sector. It's going to be very difficult and it's going to be costly. We need to change the way we deal with transport. And that is providing decent rail links. I was in Kildare today. That needs to be provided, and that's significant investment. We need to change our housing policy to have NZ, near zero energy housing, retrofit the housing stock we have. And that's why we all sat down in an all-party committee to map out the way to achieve that goal by 2030. I understood that everybody was going to work towards it. The ink was hardly dry on it when some parties and individuals have resiled from that, because there's hard decisions at the core of it. And from the Labour Party's perspective, we will implement the all-party committee to reach zero emissions by 2050 and halve our emissions by 2030. That means fundamentally altering transport, fundamentally altering the way we build houses, looking at closing down some dirty industries. And I've talked to the trade union movement, and I've met them in the Midlands, because we need, for example, not to be exploiting our bogs, but to be re-wetting our bogs and retraining that workforce to provide the 100,000 retrofit houses to ensure that we don't have fuel poverty as a result. That's why an integrated, just transition to a different economy is what all parties have set out. Let's implement that.
I just want to add, we're in a rural part of County Wexford here, and one thing.
Well, you're not. You're actually in the town.
We're in the town, but it's a rural constituency. Yeah. We really depend on agriculture here and the local economy. And one thing that has grated me over the last while is the amount of people saying that we have to halve the national herd and everything like that. Our farmers are probably one of the best farmers in Europe for looking after the environment. They are doing an absolutely fantastic job. We are feeding 50 million people from our beef, they are doing an absolutely fantastic job.
I think they've heard that from you. But now, are you going to be honest with them about the hardships that they're going to have to face?
No, we have to look. We have to look at there was a previous REP scheme that was in place. Prior to the scheme that's in place now, we have to go back to the REP scheme that was there. That's where farmers really looked after the environment. That's where farmers really looked after.
Thank you very much, Verona Murphy.
Philip, you know, I agree that we need to address transport, but nobody's coming up with the fossil fuel alternative. We could be growing hydrogenated vegetable. We could be producing hydrogenated vegetable oil through rapeseed growth. It's 8% of our land can be put under that product instead of haven't got an efficient deforestation scheme. The reality is, I don't want to see 10,000 people travelling outside Wexford. I don't want to provide them with an alternative transport. I want the jobs to come to Wexford, and we've been neglected. In 10 years, the IDA has provided 175 jobs. In 10 years, they visited Wexford three times last year, and they have actually visited Dublin 269 times. We can provide all the transport alternatives we like if we do not start to bring the regional towns up to speed with high-end jobs. We will never have people able to attain mortgages on the low-paying jobs that we have, which are an average of 30,000 in wages. That means a mortgage of 100.
We're moving off the issue. Shawnee O'Shea, what is your signature environmental policy?
Listen, we're speaking here. I agree with Paul about the farming community. Farmers realise they have to improve. Brendan is talking about improving housing quality and that. But we can't even build housing.
That's why we need a change of government in order to build them.
Listen, Brendan, in fairness, we have a housing problem here in the country. I think we're all agreed on that.
Absolutely.
Okay. There was a by-election here in Wexford recently. Okay, we had one.
All right, we've moved on, and I'm afraid I'm moving out of time. Is there a signature environmental policy that we should associate you with, Shawnee, before I have to wrap up here?
Listen, Philip, I just want to improve.
Improve the lot of your constituents is what I gather you're trying to say there. All right, thank you very much to Malcolm Byrne, Fianna Fáil, Brendan Howland, Labour, Paul Keogh, Fine Gael, Verona Murphy, Independent, and Shawnee O'Shea, Independent as well. Not here, but also running in this constituency, James Brown, Fianna Fáil, Ger Carthy, Independent, Jim Codd, A&2, Michael Darcy, Fine Gael, Lisa MacDonald, Fianna Fáil, Bart Murphy, Independent, Pauline Rosengrave, Green Party, Michael Sheehan, Fianna Fáil, and Deirdre Wadding of Solidarity People Before Profit, and Johnny Mython of Sinn Féin. We are in Donegal tomorrow, we're in Donegal in Ballybuffet Town. Do join us then.